The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, busily filling in for what Dave Chow usually does for us, it's Professor Dan Maggio.
I can't tell jokes like Dave, but I can just say thank you, Matt.
Can you fill out forms
Happy
like
Friday.
Dave? Happy Friday. Happy Friday to you, too.
Dave either.
Oh, well, that's okay. So, that's not true at all. I know I've told the story on the air before. You know how to draw like a perfect circle. Seriously. Dan Maggio taught me Calc 3.
Nice.
That's all I got to say.
Awesome.
Calc 3.
I heard that if you can draw a perfect circle, something's wrong with you.
I gave up before Calc 3.
There's a lot wrong with
me. I know. How high does Calc go? How many Calcs are there?
3.
There's kind of 4, but 3.
There was 4.
Differential equation.
No, I gave up before Calc 3.
Yeah, you weren't here. I subbed it.
Somebody had to do it.
I'm doing my best.
I took pre-calc three times.
Integral calculus. That was
not really. Or you could take calc zero. No, that doesn't make any sense. We'll backtrack a little bit. Professor Dave Chow just came in on the wind.
Backtrack.
Literally,
the breeze brought him in.
Oh, okay. Wonderful, wonderful. Everything all okay, Professor Dave Chow?
No. It feels like I'm wearing like steel wool underwear and the entire world's raining right about now.
Well, so that is true.
I'm oxidizing. So.
Just went through a 24-hour period of rain that never stopped. And that was weird. I thought it was weird.
I was fearing for my basement. You?
Yeah, well, we live in Berkeley. We always fear for our basement.
The swampland of Oakland County.
That's right. Exactly. Yikes. Well, directly across the forest of mice, Professor Jim Tubbs from Religious Studies.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right.
How was your travel that took you away from
us? Oh, it was good. Except that I went to the American Society for Bioethics and Humanities annual meeting at the Disneyland Hotel.
Oh, my.
In
Anaheim. And there was Disney music playing all the time in the hallways, the bathrooms.
So did your teeth fall out?
No.
Was it like?
I retained them. On the Friday when we were there, they were having a Halloween party. And so Mickey and Minnie and Goofy and so on were not only in those costumes, but they were wearing costumes
on top of the costumes.
Uh-huh, yes. So the characters were in costume also. So it was a very interesting time to be there. And it was beautiful weather. I mean, it was like, it was over 90 degrees.
Just rub it in.
Wow, that's really tough for the people in those costumes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Well, they were inside the hotel.
Oh, that's good.
Managing the Halloween party.
Oh, my gosh.
Trick-or-treating.
Well, I mean, you enjoyed yourself at least a little
bit.
Yeah,
I had a good time.
Okay,
had a good time.
I've been to the Disneyland Hotel before, and when you get one of the beds where the headboard has LEDs inlaid to sparkle as if it's like stardust falling on your head as you sleep, that's a little.
And I'm told they had little Mickey ears monogrammed in the sheets and pillowcases
as
well.
Just like a roll of quarters and magic fingers? Come on.
Unlike any other motel we've ever been to. Continuing around the table, Professor Jason Roach is here from Communication Studies. Mm-hmm.
Glad to be here. When we went to Disney World, we stayed in one of their animation resorts or something that was cramped,
hourly, was it?
Small. It was not hourly. I don't know if
I see.
You could afford Mickey and Minnie's hours. But
so there was no like pneumatic tube you could get into that popped you out right in the middle of the park or anything like that?
There was none.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Well, next time.
Mm-hmm. They expect you to spend more time outside the room, I think.
Yeah, that is quite true. They probably could just sort of put you up in a broom closet, and that would be...
A magical broom closet, though.
Yeah, a magical
broom closet. A Fantasia broom closet.
We're continuing around the table. We're very happy to have a guest panelist with us today, Professor Pat DeVoy from Health Information Management.
Hello, everyone. Nice to be here.
Yes, the College of Health Professions represented at the table. It's been a while since we had your previous dean, Chris Pacini, here. We had tons of fun with her.
Yes. She survived an ordeal, so.
Yes,
she did. She even came back.
Yes.
Two times,
Yes, and I'm going to try to get a team together, so
that's
look
great.
Out. We may be coming back.
A team of noble volunteers.
Well, thanks for being here, Pat.
Thank you.
We'll finish up around the table here. We have Professor Kendra Evans from Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry.
Hello.
End of week 10. Not that I'm counting.
The ratio is getting better and better.
We're way over midterm. Students were talking about midterms today. I'm like, that was a few weeks ago. What's your deal?
Well, if it means anything, we have 188 more days till my students graduate.
Jeez, not like you're keeping track.
No, not always. No.
What day is that?
I think June the 9th.
Oh, okay, so we have fewer days then. We're doing well.
When do you guys graduate?
May something, Mother's Day weekend. Yeah.
And we'll finish up with Professor Stephanie Conant, chair and professor in the Department of Biology.
The breeze brought her too.
Nothing wrong with that. We love to have a packed panel and we're going to have all sorts of fun. But first,
you can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at Ask the Professor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Facebook, where old people hang out.
Okay. Or no people hang out.
It just depends. Everything depends. I got a schooling in Snapchat filters the other day, I don't know if I can ever keep up with things like that. We have a set of questions. I think pretty much everybody knows this, but maybe they don't know it. These set of questions were submitted by the anonymous Mama Coco. Hmm. Today is the Day of the Dead. So it's November 2nd, and we're going to have some questions based on the Dia de los Muertos, or the Day of the Dead.
One of my students gave a speech on that today, so if I sound like an expert, it's only because my student did a good speech.
Oh, well, there you go.
And I had Mexican food, so that counts.
Sound like an expert. Oh, my gosh. So, what does the Day of the Dead actually celebrate? It's kind of two-parted.
People who have passed?
People who have passed, but you're going to do something about the people who have passed. What are you going to do on the Day of the Dead?
Celebrate.
Remember them.
Remember them. Honor them. And there's actually something else that's a slightly more modern view of the Days of the Dead.
Eat the little cake.
That's definitely a part
of it.
Or is that
coming
up? That's not what's listed here.
Does it have to do with zombies?
Make an offering of incense.
No incense, no zombies.
All right. Cash. Eat well. What?
Actually, you're pretty close with eat well.
Don't you feed
the cake.
Do you dine with them.
Exactly. You feed them or something?
You sort of feed them. The other half of this celebration is to enjoy life, to remember how important life is. So, this is a 3,000-year-old holiday that has been hybridized with Christianity and a million other things. And they thought that the spirits could go back and forth, the world of the living and the world of the dead. So you're supposed to be like, hey, we're all going to die someday. Let's enjoy
well
life,
today.
Right? Mm-hmm.
I did see a nice selection of Day of the Dead decorations at the Dollar Tree. So for those looking to celebrate next year.
See, that's what I was wondering. I go to this tamale place in Mexican Village. I'm like, why do they have all the candles out today? Okay, now I know.
There you go. What is the actual Day of the Dead? I guess I've sort of given that away, but it actually is over 2 days. What 2 days?
November 1st.
And 2nd.
Yes. Okay. So the Feast of All Saints and the Feast of All Souls from the Catholic Church. And, of course, that is directly to follow All Hallows Eve.
Yeah.
That is so awesome. Okay, Dave, you're one street over from me. How many did you get?
I wasn't home.
Oh, well, there you go. We hardly ever get any. We get like less than 50.
I had a friend of mine in Farmington Hills that he gave out 200.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm like, 200?
We had 130.
Wait, 130 is pretty good.
Are you guys giving away like $20 bills?
If she gets 1,000, she's going to be real stingy with the candy. To come to our house instead. We got lots.
Which of the following is not an element of a traditional Dia de los Muertos altar? Marigolds, candles, bread, shoelaces.
Shoelaces.
Marigolds.
It's definitely shoelaces. Oh. Yes. Marigolds, candles, and bread are very, very important.
I saw those today.
They're very, very important. As a matter of fact, what is pan de muerto?
Bread of the dead.
You got it.
So what's
bread of the dead?
Professor DeVoy was talking about we're going to feed those souls. We leave the bread on the gravestones so we can feed those souls.
And they turn to penicillin eventually.
So. Heal the dead.
What is an ofrenda?
That's the place where you have the pictures on one, right?
Known as a...
like an altar.
From the Christian tradition. It's an altar, yes. So you put all the pictures up. You put lots and lots of candles, like Dan was saying. It's actually pretty cool, I gotta say, because my kid did it last year at the grade school where they go. The fourth grade always goes down to a mass if it's during the regular week of school as a field trip, and they go to mass at St. Anne's, and then they go to Mexican Town for lunch, and then they get a chance to experience it all, which is kind of cool. Where do people in rural Mexico traditionally celebrate the Dia de los Muertos?
In the cemeteries.
Yeah, at the grave sites. If the movie Coco taught me anything, it's that things can get pretty log-jammed at the cemetery on that night. They do a very cool thing in that movie. They have the the live people leaving the things for their loved ones, and then their loved ones appear as skeletons standing next to them as if I'm still with you, which is, you know, kind of cool. So what is the purpose of toy skulls and all the skeletons and skeleton characters that are part of the celebration? There's actually a very specific modern purpose for using toy skulls in particular and skeletons.
Toys as opposed to using real ones?
They're easier to get to.
You also could use real ones, but they actually serve the same purpose.
Just to remind people of the deceased.
To represent the dead, right?
You're all very, very close.
Do
you're
the spirits
actually,
fill them? Is it like...
Not specifically that the spirits fill them, but you're trying to teach something to a certain part of the population. How's that?
Teaching little kids what they're going to look like after they're dead?
That's basically it. I mean, you don't want to... You shouldn't fear death to children is what it means. Yes. Okay. Which is why...
We'll all be bones.
Yes. What does specifically, when you have a sugar skull, what does that represent?
A sweet afterlife?
Sweet death?
Sweet life is actually what it means, yes. The sweetness of life.
Okay, so I guess I'm not bringing the sour tarts then. So.
La dolce vita.
La dolce vita, that's right. Just a couple more on this topic. I think this is kind of fun. What's the purpose of the marigold petals, which are almost always used to lead up to the ofrenda altars?
Because after you pluck the petals, the flower dies very quickly.
That's really, really good, but it's simpler than that. Going like two
is it to mask a smell?
That's what my student said today in her speech.
Oh, okay.
So that's
well, that
with
flies.
That.
That flies.
Is it to mask a smell or anything like
yeah,
that?
Yeah,
like lilies
really
or something
stink,
like that?
Usually, right?
Oh.
No, that
bunnies.
Is not what it is.
Keep actually. Bunnies away.
And I'm looking to Professor Conan here because she saw Coco, so she knows that the bridge in the movie from the world of the living to the dead is covered with these. So that's a hint. That's
they
a big
to,
hint.
I mean, and they had to grant him passage.
Was it like toll?
It's close. This is the trail that they follow to find where you're going to be at their grave.
Like the coins for the River Styx.
Something like that.
Or like, I can get Dan going here, it's like the flower petals that go in front of King Jaffe Jaffer in Coming to America.
Oh my gosh.
I was wondering where you were going with that.
Skin high tech.
My favorite movie.
Wait, your favorite, Murder by Death?
No.
Oh, that is one of my favorite movies. No, Coming to America.
Coming to America.
Which was, what, 30th anniversary, was it?
Okay. Yeah.
30th anniversary last week.
Oh. Are you kidding me?
No.
Gosh.
I sent Jason
so
Funko, the Funko figurines for him.
All right, we're going to have to think about other 30th anniversaries while we take a break. And we are back. With some great questions, we're just finishing up from the anonymous Mama Coco from all about the Dia de los Muertos, which we're actually celebrating today as this show is being recorded. One more question. So everybody knows about Pixar movies, which only serve one purpose in life, and that is to make you cry your eyes out whenever you watch them.
Generate
Wait,
money.
I thought they were trying to sell toys.
Well, right. That too, but that's the secondary priority.
We've got to make money somehow. Money.
There was a very, very recent animated movie beyond the Pixar movie Coco that was using Dia de los Muertos and telling a story around that holiday. Did anybody see it? It was an animated movie.
The Book of Life?
The Book of Life is what it was, yes. Very, very cool movie. Very, very interesting to see the holiday celebrated with essentially no mention overall of Christianity. I just found that was, interesting myself. So, well done, professors. I'm giving you like 100% on this one. So, Mama Coco doesn't earn any prize, or she does earn a prize. It's a different kind of prize, you know? So,
is like 100% the same thing as 100%?
Oh, like totally.
Okay.
It all rounds up.
Yeah. It's time for a little game we like to call ATP Favorites.
Uh-oh.
So who is going to be in charge of it this week? I'm trying to remember who's done it already. Someone on the panel has to think of a category of a favorite, and then we can go around the table
come
and
on,
have
Jason.
People chime in about what their favorites are. Jason,
come on,
it's been a while.
Go.
All right.
Think of a favorite.
Your favorite car that you've ever driven.
Oh, my.
Okay.
Who's going to start?
Yeah,
Pat, go ahead.
Guest. Come
go
on.
Ahead.
That's about the worst
my
question
husband,
you could ask.
My husband redoes cars. We had an MG.
Wow.
Convertible.
Convertible, red. Candy apple red.
Came with your own electrician?
The electronics didn't always work, but when they did, it was fabulous.
Oh, my gosh. Very nice.
Are we going to go in order?
Sure.
Yeah, why not?
Well,
If you say Dodge
minivan,
I didn't
really like my Saturn Aura until its transmission went out and died.
Did it last a very, very long time?
It lasted 11 years, which is pretty long for cars these days, right? Yeah. And we could have repaired it, but then $2,000. But I'm looking across because my current vehicle I do like, and our colleague on the show has a new story about
cars,
a similar vehicle. So I will pass that on for her to speak.
I don't have to tell the whole story. I mean, yeah, I liked my car while I had it for 3 weeks.
Which was a
Honda Odyssey.
Yeah. It was spacious.
What happened after 3 weeks?
Boom, boom. A woman going about 45 rear-ended me and totaled it.
Oh, no.
But it's better than...
But who is in front of you?
Well, your
my husband was in front of me.
It's a good thing you were driving something that big. Honda Odyssey is huge.
I think it was because the back part of that did not look good.
Your kids were not in it, were they?
They were.
They were.
I thought they were at home. They were in there?
Anybody injured?
The little one had a mild concussion. He got a goose egg.
But the airbag did not go off.
Wow.
So now, it just got totaled out yesterday. So
and?
We have to power of attorney, the lease back to the bank, and then they have to give us money, and then we have to go buy a new car again.
So what are you looking at?
That van again.
Okay. Okay.
It is a good van.
But that's not his favorite car of all time.
It was my favorite car for a hot minute.
I would have said it, but I just thought it was too soon.
Too soon.
I don't know. I think probably the first car I bought on my own was a favorite car. So I had a Pontiac Vibe.
Nice.
Sadly, we sold to a cousin for $200 when it was...
What?
12 years old, and it had 230,000 miles on it, and then he sold it, and then something...
Wait, so
I've got other
you
friends that have those and love them.
Yeah.
So you sold for $200. What did he sell it for?
He didn't. He thought it was dead.
Oh.
And he just left it in an aunt's driveway, and a neighbor came and said, "If I can fix it, can I have it?" And she's like, "Yeah, go for it."
Oh.
And the guy fixed it, and it's still on the
road.
Oh.
Wow.
Somebody's enjoying it, though.
Pontiac. Speaking of religion, we are in the Motor City. Professor Chow.
I'll be the first one. I like my 54. I like my Chrysler.
Yeah.
That's my land barge. That's my summer fun mobile.
My land barge.
My staycation on wheels.
My dad, to this day, having been, part of the greaser generation and, the people who, when they got older, put on the Woodward Dream Cruise, something really big will go by and he'll... mutter when cars ruled the world.
Oh, yeah.
Do I need to come over and pick him up one of these days and go up and down?
He would love it. Although he is dyed in the wool Ford guy, he would still appreciate it.
It's okay. He can sit in the front or the back. He can be, driving Miss Daisy with me if he wants.
Driving Miss Daisy.
I'm fine with it. I've squozed 8 people in that thing before.
What is it?
It's a 54 Chrysler Windsor Deluxe.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Dodge Neon of its day.
Okay.
Seriously, it is the lowest, cheapest, cheapest vehicle.
But it's gorgeous. It's a gorgeous piece of work.
Drives like a barn. Okay, and Matt, just FYI, I don't know if you've ever noticed, I do not take that thing out at night.
Oh, no, I know.
Because there's no side indicators, so you can't see me. You know that green color that I have? It's like driving camo.
Yeah, no, it's true.
You can't see me at all, and I'm scared to death after hours.
Dan, what about you?
My first car was a Rabbit.
Oh
wow.
Yeah.
It was a used Rabbit, but it was zippy, and it was awesome. I loved it. I drove it till it died.
So the Rabbit died.
That doesn't sound right.
Jim.
I was referring to the car.
Oh, well... My current car, I really like. It's a Chevy Equinox, and it's got everything I need. But I'd have to say my favorite was a land yacht I used to have, a Buick. I think it was a Park Avenue. And it had the seats. They were these baseball mitt seats. Really comfortable car.
Wow.
Really comfortable.
Wow.
That's and I grew up with a friend had seats. A Park Avenue for a couple of years, and it's huge.
Yeah, it's a big car.
Cruise around in it. Yeah,
all right, I bet. You have to plan your turns a week in advance.
Something like that. But it was fun.
So if I had to answer this question, it would be stereotypically the first car that I ever got a chance to own, which I didn't get until I was in college, but I had an 87 Cougar. And it came when I bought it used with a cell phone. I mean, this is 1994,
so
it's kind of a big deal. Now, the cell phone had no service, but you had it. So you're driving and pretending like you're using it.
Like,
badass. So that's how you met your wife.
Oh my gosh, let me tell you.
You were playing Mr. Microphone in the car, weren't you?
Mr. Microphone. Oh my gosh, indeed. When cars ruled the world. Here are a bunch of random questions from our anonymous and positive contributor.
I just have to say, I think cars still rule my husband's world.
Oh, no question.
He has a 32 coupe, so we go through all kinds of stuff. So
there you go.
Still rule my husband's world.
Mm-hmm. Is it a midlife crisis thing for some men?
Oh, no, he's had it since he was like 16,
got the original.
That's he's had various cars, so.
Okay,
yeah,
that's
still
pretty
rules.
Nice, though. That's pretty nice.
Okay, I just wasn't sure, because I checked out, I bought one.
Let's just do a couple of random questions to round out our show here. These are all over the map, but I think you remember when I brought up our anonymous contributor, I said these were all from the New York Times and the Detroit Free Press this last summer, so articles that were written on these topics. Raytheon engineers developed what we now call the microwave oven. They noticed a type of magnetron that could jam enemy radar and had a very unfortunate but inspiring effect on a certain food item in the vicinity. What effect did they notice and then decide to apply to cooking?
Popcorn?
Popcorn is a great example.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
But it's not the right answer. But that's fantastic.
You're probably
not
going for those dancing peeps right now.
No dancing peeps.
Tin
no dancing peeps. Although I'll tell you what, it's of the candy variety.
Candy.
It melted the M&Ms in their mouth, not in their hands?
I'm 100% giving this
in
to you.
In their mouth.
So the guy running the experiments had a candy bar in his breast pocket and it melted.
The candy
That is exactly the way that the microwave oven was invented. I love that story.
Hopefully he
that's
wasn't
great.
Wearing a white shirt.
Well, whatever it was, isn't
was
that great?
Was it in tinfoil? That's what I'm thinking. Oh, was the candy bar in tinfoil?
That would have been colorful.
Or like the Necco wafers.
Oh my gosh. Okay, let's, as these random questions do here, kind of switch gears rather quickly. City of Detroit has a variety of downtown parks. Mm-hmm. Which of these parks won the first ever Urban Land Institute Amanda Burden Urban Open Space Award? Holy smokes. The Urban Land Institute Amanda Burden Urban Open Space Award. That is a tongue twister. Don't think too hard. It's probably the highlight.
Belle Isle?
Not Belle Isle, but
Campus Martius.
Campus Martius. There we go. Ooh. So it's like not Belle Isle, but what comes in second?
I am waiting for them to put in the skating rink any minute now. I can't wait.
Oh my gosh.
That's skating rink time. They got rid of the beach weeks ago already.
Yeah,
so
they did. Yes, fall back, everybody. But as Facebook instructed me this morning, remember to fall back on Sunday night, but don't set the country back 50 years on Tuesday. Which park has the largest circular lawn in any downtown Detroit park?
Circular lawn?
It's a circle. A circle.
It's not the new one, Beacon Park?
It's Beacon Park, yeah, it actually is. Very well done. That's awesome. Yeah.
Where is that?
Across downtown. The street from the Gar.
Okay.
Yes, it's over
on Grand River.
West
the
side
castle.
Of Woodward. Over
yes,
by...
actually, a friend of mine owned that. Mind
Grand
you.
Circus Park is
and
near there.
Made $1 million selling it or what?
Okay. No. They use it.
There are Parks and Rec.
They use the top floors and they rent out
the
lower floor for the restaurant.
One of my favorite buildings.
But they also put on one heck of a great Halloween party too. Oh, and they actually had an art opening there last night, which I did not attend.
Which park also recently upgraded has a dog park and two fountains?
Grand Circus.
Yeah. It's like, we're just going to go through all the parks of Detroit here. Yeah, Grand Circus Park, which literally means Big Circle Park. Let's try one more of these before we wrap things up today. The United States has benefited from a long history of setting aside land to be preserved as national parks. Which park, located next to a protected natural area in Mexico, is best for bird watching, counting over 360 independent bird species?
Is it in California?
I'm guessing it would.
Is it
be close?
Is it like Baja Park or something?
No, it doesn't say that.
Or the peninsula.
Rio Grande? Anything ish?
I mean, it's about the Rio Grande. It's about what the Rio Grande does near this park. Does that make any sense?
Probably it spills out the delta, something like that. But
it's a
not Carlsbad.
It's a good guess. Big Bend is what it's Big called Bend. Because that's where there's the big loop of the Rio Grande. Which park containing the Ho Rainforest is considered the most quiet park in the United States?
Cape Flattery? Ho is what? That's Pacific Northwest, isn't it?
It is, actually. If
Cascade?
Only,
Olympia?
Olympic. Yeah, it's Olympic National. Hey,
well done.
Dave ran through all the national parks.
Good for you, yeah.
That's so cool.
Mr. Geography.
Mm-hmm. No, we don't have a map up here anymore. I'm clueless.
Yeah. Which park of the lower 48 has the largest concentration of mammals, 67 species? Don't think too hard about this one.
Yellowstone.
Yes. Jellystone would have also been good.
Jellystone, Yogi Bear, Boo Boo.
I would think the Everglades is probably getting close. Oh, but you said mammals, didn't you? Yeah.
Mammals.
Yeah. Mammals, it'd be warmer.
Interestingly, because everybody's able to predict these kind of things, identify the park that includes so many ecosystems, freshwater, saltwater, Barrier Island, Pine Forest, Cypress. It's considered to be one of the greatest diversity of
Everglades. Yes.
Yes, that is correct.
Including a few pet crocodiles and pet snakes.
Every once in a while, they slip out into the retaining pool at Disney World and has some interesting things happen. Let's see. If you want to do stargazing, could you name two of the 8 U.S. parks certified as International Dark Sky Parks?
Yeah, one's in Michigan.
Yes.
That is true.
It's right next to Mackinac Bridge. Mm-hmm. It's
what's it called?
I was there.
I can see the Northern Lights.
No, it's like 2 miles from the bridge to the west. It's in Everett. Is it Everett County? I can't remember.
I've been up there for
I'm giving you credit for it.
Is it Hadley?
It's called like Hadley or Hadley or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Nice. Okay.
What else do we got here? You've got to name one more.
By the way, where
can you give me a state? Like, is it
Rocky Mountain?
There are Simpson ones in Springs Nevada, Park. Texas, Colorado, Utah, California, Arizona, and California again.
Would Simpson Springs in Utah be one?
Let's see. I'm very, very sorry.
Might be on the Nevada border.
No, actually. It doesn't have that one listed.
Is Rocky Mountain National Park on there?
Rocky Mountain is not on the list for a dark sky park. How about the one that corresponds to a very famous album by U2?
Oh, Joshua Tree.
Joshua Tree in California. Great Basin, Big Bend. Black Canyon of the Gunnison. Okay, sure. Canyonlands, Capitol Reef, Death Valley, and, of course, the Grand Canyon.
Oh, Death Valley.
So they're all...
Is this like a Grand Canyon, but I thought...
Okay. If you said it, I apologize. I didn't...
No, I didn't. I was just thinking...
I see.
And in Michigan, it's the Headlands.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay. And you're right. They suck the light out of the world at those parks. It's pretty creepy if you've never been to one before. Except for maybe if you've like been in a cave and tried to see your hand in front of your face. Yeah, that sounds about right.
I mean, recess?
It's time to go to recess. We'll have everybody first say goodbye. Professor Conant.
Goodbye. Have a good weekend.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Maggio.
Goodbye.
Professor Tubbs.
Au revoir.
Professor Roach.
Adios.
Professor DeVoy.
Goodbye.
Professor Kendra Evans.
Bye.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter @AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.